RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman Afus, the headlines. Indonesia condemns Israel's settlement law. Indonesian government issue export duty rate. 11 Asian sovereign audit institution hold governing board meeting. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian government has condemned the imposition of Israeli settlement law that restrictively legalized thousands of illegal settler homes built on stolen Palestinian land. The so-called regulation bill was passed on February 7th at Israeli Knesset, according to press statement on Foreign Affairs Ministry of Indonesia, which released on Monday. Indonesia believed that the law would disrupt the two-state solution as it has been reaffirmed in the Middle East Peace Conference in Paris, France on January 15, 2017. According to the statement, the application of unilateral bill is a violation of international law and can create tensions, clashes, and violence in the occupied territories. Therefore, the government calls on the UN and the international community to immediately take decisive steps against Israeli policy that are considered not in line with the international spirit in creating peace in the Middle East. The Indonesian government has changed the regulation of Finance Minister PMK on export goods subject to export duty and export duty rate. The head of Fiscal Policy Agency of Indonesian Finance Ministry, Suhasil Nasara, said in a written statement on Monday that the background of the new PMK is to push for the acceleration of improved domestic mineral added value. Suhasil also referred to the processing and refining activities to provide added value that could improve people's prosperity. The new regulation stipulates that export duty of mineral concentrate is between 0 until 7.5% depending on the physical progress of the smelting facility. It said that the higher the physical progress of the development, the lower the export duty will be, and vice versa. ASEAN member countries must unite to face turbulence in the region due to influence of China as well as the leadership of the United States under President Donald Trump. An international political analyst from the Habibie Center, Dewi Fortuna Anwar, said on Monday in Jakarta that ASEAN member countries should manage the relationship to face turbulence in the region. The statement was delivered during a seminar entitled Middle Power Possibilities at the Moment of Turbulence in the Asia-Pacific. She said that middle power countries such as ASEAN members should be able to maintain and strengthen the regional institution to face the challenges arising from the shifting of power between China and the USA in the Asia-Pacific region. She also said ASEAN member countries have to be a player, not just follow or bargain with the superpower country. ASEAN countries should create strategic autonomy in an attempt to ensure the stability, peace, and prosperity in the region. Indonesian former President B.J. Habibie has lauded the government's proposal to position the development of R-80 aircraft as a national strategy project. He said on Monday that he thinks this is normal. Indonesia has to make aircraft because Indonesia can afford to buy them. He remarked, with domestic potential and economic capacity, Indonesian demand for airplanes and other aerospace products would continue to increase. He stated that the plan to develop Regio Prop 80 or R-80 aircraft as a national strategy project has shown the nation's optimism to produce quality aerospace products. He believes that the government and the new generation in aerospace industry are capable of building the R-80 aircraft. Previously, Director General of Metal Machinery Transport Equipment and Electronic at Industry Ministry, Igusti Putu Suryawirawan, remarked that the development of two aircraft prototypes, namely R-80, which was designed by Habibie, and 245, are proposed to become national strategy projects in 2017. Indonesian Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin said on Monday that the government would wait for the government of Saudi Arabia to provide compensation for Indonesians killed and injured in the collapse of the crane at the Al Haram Grand Mosque in Mecca in 2015. Mr. Lukman explained the Indonesian government had completed the administrative documents in regard to Indonesians who were victims of tragedy as required by the Saudi authorities. He also said the government of Indonesia asked the government of Saudi Arabia to provide the compensation as soon as completed the requirements, but they asked to wait as they prepared to distribute the money simultaneously with other countries' victims. The 11 members of the ASEAN Organization Sovereign Audit Institution, ASOSAI, will hold the 51st government board meeting in Bali on February 13 until 14th to discuss the outcomes of the organization's strategic development. The meeting was opened by Chairman of Indonesian Sovereign Audit Agency BPK, Hari Asar Aziz, and was attended by 10 other member countries, namely India, Japan, South Korea, Malaysia, Nepal, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Thailand, Turkey, and Vietnam, as well as audit committees from Jordan and Mongolia, and observers from China, Indo-Sai Development Initiative, ASEAN Sovereign Audit Institution. In a written statement issued by Antara on Monday, as he said that the meeting would discuss the preparation of 2018-2020 multi-year budget, a capacity building report, progress of 2016-2021 strategy achievement report, CHUNA, as well as the cooperation of ASOSAI with the regional organization and reports from ASOSAI working groups and committees. A Catholic church in the Regency of Manggarai on Flores Island, East Nusa Tenggara, is encouraging its members to properly dispose of waste and to refrain from littering. The public awareness campaign comes in response to the habit of some routine residents to throw their household garbage into the river. Rev. Leon Angkur, a Catholic priest in a routine in Manggarai Regency, said Monday that the church has been calling on the congregation at every Sunday Mass to keep the environment inside and outside the church clean. From the time to time, the church also delivers sermons about keeping the environment in its neighborhoods clean. Rev. Angkur added that the church was also working with the young generation and NGOs related to waste management to sort plastic and non-plastic trash. Meanwhile, Yovensius Jangat, an environmental activist from Village Prosperity, lamented recently that residents of Bruton often threw trash into the rivers. Jangat also said the city's dam site was already overloaded, with the administration bringing 27 tons of trash to the pit every day. The last item, the representative office of Indonesian Stock Exchange VA in this Papua capital city has opened a clinic class for non-active registered share investors. Head of the BEI representative office in Jaipura, Krishna Aditya Payakhwa, said on Tuesday in Jaipura that they need guidance, especially as the share customer are different in time. Therefore, it's open share investment class for them. Krishna said participants are told how to buy and sell shares and how to analyze the market trend. Indonesian Stock Exchange Jaipura opens the share investment clinic every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Krishna said now it's already the fifth group. From the class, it could be seen who among the investors more active in the share trade, it said, adding the prices given to the most active traders. The cleaning is part of the program to promote share trading in a bid to increase the number of investors in Indonesian stock exchange. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Black Campaign. Currently, Indonesia is entering a quiet period ahead of simultaneous regional head elections, which will take place on 15 February 2017. These elections will be followed by seven provinces, namely Aceh, Bangka Belitung, Jakarta, Banten, Gorontalo,
West Sulawesi and West Papua province, as well as 76 regencies and 18 cities. In this quiet period, voters are given the opportunity to establish the choice. The decision in selecting the best choice is part of a democratic process that will determine the future of the nation. In this quiet period, the participants of the elections are no longer allowed to do various forms of campaigns. However, black campaign is something cautious, even though it is not transparently done because of their legal consequences. Black campaign uses destructive methods of seduction, satire or rumors targeting the opponents. It aims to create a perception that is considered unethical, especially in terms of public policy. This communication is done to create the phenomenon of resistant attitude among voters. Generally, black campaign is conducted efficiently by one of the candidates or even other parties because it is lack of powerful resource to attack the rival. By playing on emotion, it is expected that voters will eventually leave the candidate of their choice. Black campaign is very unhealthy in building the country's democracy. Such method is really not elegant and uneducated. Every candidate blames each other even in fine or even fought waste. It's time for Indonesian people and country to start being mature in opening their mindset about the meaning of a real democracy and renounce unseemly ways for the sake of the victory. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with February the 14, 1945, PETA Uprising. PETA, or the Homeland Defense Forces, was formed during the occupational time by the Japanese troops in Indonesia in October 1943. They were recruiting young Indonesian for territorial army to maintain Jawa, Bali, and Sumatra if the Allied forces arrived. Supriyadi, who was one of the first graduates of PETA Platoon Training Commander in Bur, was struck by the suffering of the people resulting from the treatment of Japanese soldiers. People were mobilized for forced labor to build fortifications on the beach. Many died of starvation and dysentery untreated. Seeing the suffering of these people, Supriyadi designed an uprising. Secret meetings were held starting September 1944. His planning acts were not only as a rebellion but also a revolution for the independence of Indonesia. On February 14, 1945, PETA in Blitar under the command of Supriyadi began an uprising. At 3 p.m. Western Indonesia time, Supriyadi troops fired mortars to Hotel Sakura, which became the residence of the Japanese officers. Japanese secret police headquarters also fired machine guns, but apparently the two buildings had been emptied. The Japanese had found out about the uprising earlier. In a short time, they sent troops to quell the rebellion. A total of 78 officers and soldiers from Blitar PETA were eventually arrested and thrown into prison for a later trial in Jakarta. Next is from 1989. Union Carbide agrees to pay $470 million to the Indian government for damages it caused in the 1984 Bhopal disaster. The Bhopal disaster, also referred to as the Bhopal gas tragedy, was a gas leak incident in India considered the world's worst industrial disaster. It occurred on the night of December 2nd and 3rd, 1984 at the Union Carbide India Limited pesticide plant in Bhopal, Madhya Pradesh. Over 500,000 people were exposed to methyl isocyanate gas and other chemicals. The toxic substance made its way into and around the shanty towns located near the plant. Estimates vary on the death toll. The official immediate death toll was 2,259. The government of Madhya Pradesh later confirmed a total of 3,787 deaths related to the gas released. The cause of the disaster remains under debate. The Indian government and local activists argue that slack management and Deferred maintenance created a situation where routine pipe maintenance caused a backflow of water into the methyl isocyanate gas tank, triggering the disaster. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, this is Arrival Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's focus is Lombok products to go global. Stay tuned. Coordinating Minister for Economy, Darmin Nasution, made a walking visit to Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara Province on Saturday 11 February 2017. Minister Nasution also monitored the management ports in Mandalika Special Economic Zone. Tempo.co reported that Minister Darmin Nasution requested the port management to focus on potential logistic flow among islands, because so far the port management has tended to focus on passenger ships. He also said that logistic distribution hasn't been well explored due to too much focus on people instead of cargoes. Therefore, in the future, port managers should start to focus on goods. According to the government's plans, the eastern region of Indonesia, especially Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, up to Merauke, will be the location of corn and sugar cane plantations. Minister Darmin Nasution also explained that the eastern Indonesian region is suitable for the cultivation of these crops. That should be considered because the needs of corn and sugar until today have not been fulfilled. He said that to support the process, infrastructure is important to be built, especially for commodity distribution in one area. Meanwhile, as quoted by Kompas.com, Minister Nasution also requested the provincial government of West Nusa Tenggara to be more serious in developing Lombok fields. He proposed that regional government cooperates with a number of European countries like the Netherlands and Italy in this matter. The government wants the typical Lombok product to penetrate the export market. Mr. Darmin Nasution also added that the cooperation can be established with famous jewelry industry in a number of cities in Europe, including by inviting a number of experts to develop field jewelry from Lombok. Lombok has long been known as the field of sea source. This is inseparable from the cultivation of mussels on the island located in east of Bali. Meanwhile, related to the permits, they will be handled by the Management of Special Economic Zone SAS in Mandalika Central Lombok. Head of Investment and One-Stop Integrated Service at NTB, Lalu Gita Aryadi, as quoted by Kompas newspaper, said that the administration of SAS will respond to one principal license, six business license from the Capital Investment Coordinating Board by KPM. Then the SAS administrator will handle 68 permits from the governor of NTB and 46 from Central Lombok region. Therefore, for an integrative management, Minister Nasution hopes Mandalika SAS will be soon built, and not only on the hotel property side but also permit plans such as International Mandalika Highway. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian government has condemned the imposition of Israeli settlement law that retroactively legalizes thousands of illegal settlers' homes built on stolen Palestinian land. Indonesian government has changed the regulation of finance ministry on export goods subject to export duty and export duty rate. ASEAN member country must unite to face turbulence in the region due to influence of China as well as the leaders of the United States under President Donald Trump. Indonesian former President B.J. Habibie has lauded the government's proposal to position the development of R-80 aircraft as a national strategy project. Indonesian Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin said on Monday that the government would wait for the government of Saudi Arabia to provide compensation for Indonesian killed and injured in the collapse of the crane at the Al-Haram Grand Mosque in Mecca in 2015. The 11 members of the ASEAN Organization of Sovereign Audit Institutions, ASOSAI, will hold the 51st Governing Board meeting in Bali on February 13 until 14 to discuss the outcomes of the organization's strategic development. A Catholic church in the region of Manggarai on Flores Island East Nusa Tenggara is encouraging its members to properly dispose of waste and to refrain from littering. The representative office of Indonesian Stock Exchange in Papua Capacity City has opened a clinic class for non-active registered share investors. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder. Today we will take you traveling to Malang, East Java. Stay tuned. Listener, in 2017, Department of Culture and Tourism in Malang focuses to develop a tourism village. There have been registered 10 villages in Malang, which will expand as a tourism object and will offer to the tourists. Every village has its own uniqueness. Traveling to the tourism village in Malang has a special and different character compared to the surrounding areas. With a tourism village, the tourists will be able to interact in villages that will be developed. The villages are, among others, Tunjung Sekar Village, Purwodadi Village, Kasin Village, Lesanpuro Village, Klojan Village, Buring Village, Merjosari Village, Bakalan Krajan Village, Lawakwaru Village, and Penanggungan Village. Listener, besides 10 tourism villages, actually Malang already has 6 tourism villages, which are visited by many tourists. One of them is Gubuk Klaka Tourism Village. Gubuk Klaka Tourism Village, or commonly called with DWG or DWG, is located in the eastern part of Ponco Kusumo District, about 23 kilometers from Malang. The name Gubuk Klaka came from the word Gubuk means a very simple place and Klaka means half bamboo. So, Gubuk Klaka means a place made of half bamboo as a symbol of poorness felt by the local people long time ago. Located at the foot of Mount Bromo, Gubuk Klaka Tourism Village presents a beautiful scenery and typical coolness of mountain. As a tourism village, Gubuk Klaka Village has some interesting destinations such as Apple Argo Tourism, Coban Panjut, and Coban Gereja. Listener, as you walk into the gateway of Gubuk Klaka Tourism Village, you can immediately feel the typical nuance of this tourism village. There are some tourism packages offered by Gubuk Klaka Village that you can enjoy. One of them is picking apple with only 15,000 rupiah per person. The apples I grow in the tourism village are owned by the farmers on the villages. The apple garden in Gubuk Klaka harvested once in 5 months, and it is not simultaneous harvest, so that the tourists can pick the apples every day from different locations of the agro-apple area. The types of apple planted in Gubuk Klaka area are Rum Beauty, mana lagi an Australian apple. If you love an extreme traveling that push the adrenaline, you can try rafting on the Ndayung River. Rafting on the river has a distance about 5 to 7 kilometers and takes about 2.5 hours. In addition, you also can follow the tubing tourism package, sailing through the river with car tires. The sailing is done on the Amprong River, which has 500 meters long, in about 15 minutes. For those who wants to linger to enjoy the beauty of the Gubuklaka Tourism Village, you can choose the tourism package that is managed by Gubuklaka Village Management, such as Bromo package for 2 days and 1 night with a price of 2,750,000 rupiah for 1 to 6 persons. The tourism object that will be visited in the package, namely Alun-Alun Balikota or Malang Town Square, Jago Temple, Coban Pelangi, Bromo Sunrise, Savannah, and Teletubbies Hill. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder with Gubuklaka Tourism Village in Malang. Tomorrow, we will be back with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is Pemilihan Kepala Daerah di Jakarta, or in English, Head of Government Election in Jakarta. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Pemilihan kepala daerah. Pemilihan kepala daerah in English, local head of government election. Hari Sabtu. Hari Sabtu in English, Saturday. Kemarin. Kemarin, yesterday. Terakhir. Terakhir, the last. Kampanye. Kampanye, campaign. Kapan, kapan. When. Pemilihan, pemilihan. Election. Tahun ini, tahun ini. This year. Tanggal 15 Februari, tanggal 15 Februari. February 15. Rabu, Rabu. Wednesday. Jam 7 pagi. Jam 7 pagi. 7 a.m. Jam 1 siang. Jam 1 siang. 1 p.m. Kantor. Kantor. In English, office. Presiden. Presiden. In English, president. Menetapkan. Menetapkan. To decide. Hari libur nasional. Hari libur nasional, national holiday. Membawa, membawa, to bring, kartu tanda penduduk, elektronik atau e-KTP, kartu tanda penduduk elektronik atau e-KTP in English, electronic ID card, surat undangan, surat undangan, invitation, kartu keluarga, kartu keluarga, family ID card, jauh, jauh in English, far, serentak, serentak, simultaneous, lancar, lancar, smooth, aman, aman, safe, sukses, sukses, successful. Next is a conversation on pemilihan kepala daerah di Jakarta, or in English, local head of government election in Jakarta. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Rita and Anna at the office. Eh Rita, hari Sabtu kemarin adalah hari terakhir kampanye pemilihan kepala daerah di Jakarta. Hari Sabtu kemarin adalah hari terakhir kampanye pemilihan kepala daerah di Jakarta. In English, last Saturday was the last campaigning day for local election in Jakarta. B. Anna, kapan pemilihannya? Kapan pemilihannya? In English, when is the election? A. Rita, pemilihan kepala daerah akan dilaksanakan pada tahun ini tanggal 15 Februari. Pemilihan kepala daerah akan dilaksanakan pada tahun ini tanggal 15 Februari. In English, the local head of government election will be held on February 15, hari Rabu, jam 7 pagi sampai dengan jam 1 siang. Hari Rabu, jam 7 pagi sampai dengan jam 1 siang. In English, on Wednesday, from 7 a.m. till 1 p.m. B. Anna, apakah kamu masuk kantor pada hari itu? Apakah kamu masuk kantor pada hari itu? In English, do you have to come to the office on that day? A. Rita, Presiden telah menetapkan hari itu menjadi hari libur nasional. Presiden telah menetapkan hari itu menjadi hari libur nasional. In English, the president has decided the day as a national holiday. B. Anna, pada saat pemilihan apa saja yang harus dibawa? Pada saat pemilihan apa saja yang harus dibawa? In English, on the election day, what do you have to bring? A. Rita, kamu harus membawa kartu tanda penduduk elektronik dan juga surat undangan. Kamu harus membawa kartu tanda penduduk elektronik dan juga surat undangan. In English, you have to bring your electronic ID card and the invitation. Lebih baik membawa juga kartu keluarga. Lebih baik membawa juga kartu keluarga. In English, it would be better if you bring the family ID card too. B. Anna, apakah tempat pemilihannya jauh dari tempat kamu? Apakah tempat pemilihannya jauh dari tempat kamu? In English, is the polling station far from your place? A. Rita, kebetulan tempat pemilihan tidak jauh dari rumah saya. Kebetulan tempat pemilihan tidak jauh dari rumah saya. In English, luckily, it's not far from my house. B. Anna, semoga tanggal 15 Februari Pilkada serentak berjalan lancar, aman, dan sukses ya. semoga tanggal 15 Februari, Pilkada serentak, berjalan lancar, aman, dan sukses ya. In English, hopefully on February 15, the simultaneous local election will run smoothly, safe and successful. Rita, terima kasih. Terima kasih in English. Thank you. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back again with me, Hernita, in our segment of Music Corner. In today's edition, we'll present Dangdut Song. So stay tuned.
Tutur kata lembut tersayang.
Listener, you've just listened to the song entitled Tergoda, sung by a senior dangdut singer, Rita Sugiarto. The song that was released in late 2016 tells the story about someone who tempted to another one. Although considerable onslaught of modern dangdut music right now, in the latest single of Rita Sugiarto, she remains carried 90s dangdut music as her music genre. The single Tergoda was composed by Maskit, which was firstly introduced in the public during the ADI or Anugerah Dangdut Indonesia or Indonesian Dangdut Award event. The single, which was released under the label Irama Tujuh Nada. Before the single Tergoda, Rita has released another single entitled Goyah. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Goyah by Rita Sugiarto. Happy listening.
Nafasku terhenti kala ku teringat kepadamu dan kala raut wajahmu perlahan-lahan hilang di mataku. Saling memiliki.
Listener Rita Sugiarto began her career at her age of 13 and joined Soneta Group in 1976 to 1981. At least 20 albums have been released. She also has a project album with her former husband entitled Jackie, Tersisi, and Selalu Rindu in 2011, the album Oleh Oleh in 2015, and in early 2016 with a compilation album Terlalu Rindu. The senior singer is still exists in a fairly mature age with her characteristic hoarse voice and strident. In mid-2016, Rita Sugiarto released the single Koyah. In this song, Rita gives a different feel with the previous songs. The difference is only in terms of music and more contemporary arrangements. Her collaboration with arranger Echal Gumilang made this song more colorful and distinctive. The song, which was composed by Suto Pranto, described sadness of someone who left her lover so that he feels lost. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Terlalu Rindu and Merenda Kasih by Rita Sugiarto. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Hatiku kepadamu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.